You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
You're listening to The Toilet of Hell Radio Show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got 365 Days of Horror and Brenicide.
What's going on, fellas?
We're about to do the podcast game. How you guys been?
I've been doing pretty good. Had a pretty uneventful week. Actually, that's not true at all. I did a lot of great stuff. I went and saw the Pixies, the famous alt-rock band, live with my wife. It's one of her favorite bands, and it was a phenomenal show. It really drove home for me that I do indeed like live music. I just hate live metal. It's a big difference. But so that was great. And then on Saturday, we had gone to a cheeseburger eating contest where we saw the truest American hero, Joey Chestnut, put down a world record, 52 full-size cheeseburgers in 10 minutes.
God damn, Joey Chestnut, he is a national hero. He still holds the Frank's New Year's, or sorry, Independence Day hot dog eating belt, right?
Yeah, the Coney Island hot dog.
The mustard belt.
Yeah. That's right.
Show some respect.
He is the reigning champ. I think the year before, Megatoad had held the record. It was not a record that Joey Chestnut had gone for, and he had put down 42 cheeseburgers. But Joey Chestnut flew in from wherever he's from to our humble state of Massachusetts, and that day I saw history occur as a man of modest size put down 52 cheeseburgers in 10 minutes. It was a beauty.
What do you think his poops are like, you know, a few hours later?
I don't know. A lot of people say that he throws up after, but it's not true. He actually keeps it. It says he gloats about having a beer afterwards.
That's so gross. I mean, if you had eaten 52 full-size cheeseburgers, like, I would be dying to vomit. Like, that would be the only thing that I would want to do.
Yeah, I don't know where he puts it. I have no clue. I don't even know how you can, like, physiologically fit 52 cheeseburgers inside a person, let alone a digestive system. So
yeah, you're dealing with a finite space.
That's right. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he has like a colostomy bag or something too.
Did he sign a cheeseburger for you with like ketchup and mustard?
No, I think it was just plain cheeseburgers provided by a local favorite, White Hut. They had grilled over 650 cheeseburgers for this competition. And we had a Western Massachusetts local eat up to 49 cheeseburgers right behind him. It was amazing. These guys are true athletes.
Did you get to eat one too?
I didn't get one, man. They wouldn't let me play.
The local Western Massachusetts person, was it Aaron Lewis?
It's been a while, but I don't remember.
Boo.
You need a mud shovel to get all those burgers in your mouth.
I'll be here all week.
I can't think of another Stain song. Sorry, guys.
Let's see.
I used to remember a couple of Stain songs, but it's been so far away that I got nothing. Fuck you. That was it. God damn it.
I was blanking. I thought I had a follow up, but there's just one more good one. I don't know, man, but I could tell that the people who got beat up by Joey Chestnut were feeling all this pain. So good times.
So, Jordan, what's happened for you this week?
It was a holiday for me earlier this week, so I took a couple of days off of work and went to go see family, and now I have the Sunday night dreads of having to go back to work, knowing full well that I wasn't in for 2 days and just kind of afraid what's waiting for me. Somehow we get the rap of being lazy millennials, and yet we still manage to work ourselves to death.
Yeah, you add a hangover on top of that, you've got a recipe for severe paranoia.
I did see It this weekend, though.
Yeah, what do you think, man? I saw it like a week ago.
You know, I really enjoyed it. Like, I'm kind of cautious when a horror movie, like, does well in the mainstream. I kind of, you know, have a distrust of the general audience. Like, I think of Paranormal Activity doing super well.
Oh, yeah, that movie sucked.
Annabelle.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't trust any of you. But I went and it was like a legitimately good movie on top of being a really good horror movie.
Yeah, man. I was shocked because I had never seen the miniseries. I'd never read the book or anything like that. We went because my lady's a big Stephen King fan, you know? So I had zero expectations, but I was blown away. I was like, yeah, this is number one, a really great movie. Number two, it's actually scary. So I dig it.
Yeah, I'm always very cautious when Hollywood sort of digs into these old IPs that have already kind of had their day in the sunshine to try and kind of go into that sort of nostalgia market. They don't seem to put as much effort into making something good because they are so confident that it's just going to sell well because everybody knew about it back. It was like the early 90s when that miniseries came out with Tim Curry, right?
Yeah.
Like 1990. So I didn't think they would put as much effort into it as they did. And I thought it was fantastic. That kid from Stranger Things.
Oh, he's great.
Flynn. Yeah, he was freaking excellent. Everybody said he overacted, but I mean, he's what, an 11-year-old boy. He was hilarious.
Like he had at least one legitimately great joke. Like I was dying. I don't want to repeat it on here because it's funny enough that, you know, you ought to see it in the theater. If you haven't seen it, go see the movie. You know what I did yesterday, though?
Why don't you tell us? Yeah.
I went and saw Mother with the exclamation point at the end because I had seen this, I forget what the name of it was, the super hard right conservative blog reviewed it. The review is like, Mother is the worst movie of the year, possibly The Sanctuary. And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah, of course I gotta go see that. And you know what? It is a legitimately awful fucking movie. and I was hoping,
not what I was expecting.
I was hoping for something more, man, because like it was very. I've heard that it's been very polarizing for people. It is a very, it's a kind of a difficult, very difficult movie to watch. It's like 2.5 hours long, basically, of torturing Jennifer Lawrence the entire time. Darren, one of them guys, Darren Aronofsky, the guy that did, Black Swan, Requiem for a Dream, The Fountain, other movies that I also didn't like. So I mean, I should have known better. I was kind of hoping that this would be an art house style, horror movie, and it was so close. The entire movie is just, without giving anything away, it's about the process of art and creation, and I can't think of anything lamer than making art about making art. It's the laziest fucking thing on earth. Have you guys ever seen Birdman?
No.
Okay.
It's a Michael Keaton
dude,
movie, right?
Well, I love Birdman, okay?
I hated
Harvey Birdman, attorney at law.
Okay, no, not that one. No, man, like, Birdman, the Michael Keaton movie, because it's a movie about making... about like acting and about making movies and like doing plays and I just hate this head up your own asshole like fart sniffing idea of like I must make art about making art. No, anything else. Ugh.
It's like writing songs about writing songs. You know, it's like it's like when you're like in some sort of community college English 101 class and you have to write a descriptive essay. So what you do is you write an essay about you sitting there writing the essay.
Exactly. And it's because like, it's born out of either laziness or total bereft of ideas. So I'm super mad about this because there were so many parts of this movie that were really, really visually awesome and parts of it that were, you know, claustrophobic and they could have done so much more with it than what it was. I don't know. Have you ever, because I really like artsy bullshit. You know, mm-hmm. I love David Lynch movies. I love like Jodorowsky. But they don't make movies about, well, let's take that back. Inland Empire is kind of about making movies, but it's about a curse movie. So it's different.
Yeah, it's different. So I haven't seen Mother. And usually with very polarizing films, I'll recommend it to anybody just because I don't know what anyone's opinion is going to be. Like, I know we had a bit of a disagreement about the movie The Void. You seem to love it a lot.
I love it.
And I recognized how it was good, but I also recognized how it was very bad. So I felt, you know, I told everybody to watch it because it's definitely worth watching, but I didn't come out. out of it feeling like I saw a good movie. But for Mother, I mean, do you recommend people check it out and see what they think?
No, or is fuck, it really fuck lost, Darren Aronofsky.
No.
All seriously, right, go watch like Holy Mountain instead, and you'll see like a legitimately bizarre art house movie that'll leave an impression on you for a long while. Mother was just, it's trash. It's trash.
You heard it first, kids. Just buy a ticket to It and then go enjoy yourself at the movies this weekend.
Yeah, that's a much better idea. Do that.
Yeah.
So was there no Danzig in the movie then?
I was going to make that joke, and I forgot.
What else has happened? Our good buddy Neil Jameson has been doing the Neil Jameson thing again.
Best friends.
Best friends for life.
We gotta love him, man. So what did he do? He wrote this article on Decibel, the Art of the Deals, where the first half of the article, he talks about pay-to-play schemes, which is great. I'm glad somebody brought it up, right? And then the second half of the article, he kind of goes into the Via Nocturnum emails that everybody gets when they first start out. So I know you have some thoughts on this, Joe.
Yeah, well, number one, I don't think we've ever called out Via Nocturna by name on this show. We've definitely had, what is a word for it? Double entendre. No, not double entendres. We've been coy, been real coy.
Yeah.
But Via Nocturna.
Like I've called them like, yeah, me a hot Turner is how I
yeah.
describe what they rhymed like.
For folks that aren't familiar, if you put out anything on Bandcamp, you're going to get an email immediately from this label, Via Nocturna, who want to release your record. They're just going to charge you like $1,500 for like, what, 250 CDs? And
right.
By doing so, they'll make you a whole lot of promises like, it's all shit you can do on your own. Just don't do it, guys. You'll never fucking sell 250 CDs.
Yeah, they ship you the CDs.
Yeah, that's the long and short of it. We could go into more details with it. All I can say is just you don't need to do this, guys. You can do most of this on your own. But similar to pay to play, you know, there are people who are looking to make a little bit of coin off you who will take your hand as a young band and say, like, hey, I'll do this for you. I'll do this for you. You can't possibly do this on your own. It's always the case that you definitely can. So don't give anybody any money anytime, ever.
Right.
Except and for us.
Not to mention they, us, please. But they, I know that they take the rights to pretty much all your digital distribution. Like if you, they will take care of your Bandcamp, your Spotify, Google Play, whatever. And you're not going to see a dime of that. They're going to just put it up for you and reap the benefits on top of pretty much just printing some CDs for you. And then probably what, an email blast or two. And then they just take your money and run and assume.
Yeah. I get email blasts from Via Nocturna all the time. And I'm just like, and actually I get a lot of them. So they do pretty good business. I mean, it's a bad business, but they do a lot of it.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
They're like Arby's of the music world.
I'm so hungry, I could eat at Arby's. Sorry, I lost my train of thought thinking about the big Montana. Where were you going with this, Bruno?
But sorry. Yeah, so he brought up the pay-to-play schemes. And what did he say? Something about how it's been talked a lot about on the net, but he didn't really cite who was talking about it.
Yeah, AKA recently people Jordan. Have been talking about it. Who are these people? I wonder.
How hard is it to put a hyperlink in a? We all use WordPress. We know how it's done. It's not hard.
That's okay. I don't want credit from Jamie.
I think he recently released a like a tape or something where he just totally copped a an album art from. I think it was Neurosis.
Oh,
like
really?
It's the exact same. Yeah, there's like a photograph of some statue that has kind of a mangled face and it looks sort of creepy.
A lot of bands have used that.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, like I know off the top of my head, there's a horror punk band named Blitzkid who used the same exact statue picture.
Yeah, it's but I know at the moment he released that, like 400 people just said, hey, is this a split with Neurosis? And instead of like apologizing or changing it or anything, he just kind of got mad about how it's just photographing. I don't even like Neurosis, so what do I care? In his typical fashion.
Classy. I prefer his split with Satanic Warmaster.
Oh, me too. That's a good one.
Yeah, he had some really choice words there in the thank yous. we can't actually say them on this show, but you know, go look it up.
Well, we can. We're just good people.
Yeah, we could, but I don't want to.
Right. Just do some Googling, kids. You'll get it.
Yeah. So he offered. I guess he did that split in the early 2000s, and in 2015 he wrote kind of a mea culpa in Decibel about that, in which he said, you know, back in those days, nobody really took United States black metal seriously. And you were either like National Socialist black metal, or you were kind of anti-fa black metal. And by putting down an extremely offensive racial slur in the thank you notes on his split with Satanic Warmaster, he said he was giving a fuck you to both sides. I would invite Neil to explain how that works, because it seems pretty clear that you copped into one side on that. Especially doing the split with fucking Satanic Warmaster in the first place, a weeaboo Nazi.
Yeah, I mean, like, in 2002, I was, like, an early teenager. Like, he cites the fact that, well, I was young and stupid, but, you know, so was I, but I'm not about to put the N-word on, like, a release. At any age, I wouldn't have done that, you know? But what do I know?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, we're not in, you know, a world-famous black metal band. We just have a podcast that has roughly the same amount of listeners as his band.
Well, yeah, to be fair, neither is he, so. Yikes.
So he put out another post just the other day. Yeah. Richter, who I am serious about this, he is probably one of the best writers in music today, young music writers. He covered this release from Sacred Sun, which is a one-man black metal project based out of the UK. And, you know, as a lot of this music is, it's created by a young, clean-cut dude, you know, in his bedroom. So for, I guess, to be a little bit cheeky with it, his the cover art for his album is just this guy with Ray-Bans on, standing on some picturesque cliff somewhere, clearly on vacation. And it's so jarring when compared to, you know, your standard black and white trees and shit black metal release, that it's clearly kind of meant to be jarring and a little bit of a fuck you to the norms of the genre.
It's like, it seems so obvious, it's a wonder nobody's done it sooner.
Seriously, I'm a little bit jealous that
right,
you
me
thought
too.
Of it first. So, I mean, Richter got out in front of this because there were kind of people talking on social media a little bit of back and forth about this, forming stronger and stronger opinions, and I thought that he had a really great argument about all of this. It's like, are you listening to this for the aesthetics, or are you listening to it for the music? You know, it's the same argument that people have for defending NSBM. It's like, but the riffs. Well, in the case of Sacred Sun, like, it's actually really well done black metal. The music is there. It's not in any way black gaze or anything like that. It's just very straight ahead quality black metal. So if you're mad about this, are you mad about the music, or are you mad that it doesn't fit the image that you have in your head of what black metal is supposed to be?
Yeah, hoisted by their own perturb, as it were.
Yes, masterfully so, I would say. Neil,
so too.
Neil Jameson, however, had he shit out another post this week in which he was offended that anyone would dare be cheeky with the virtuous lady black metal.
It was, yeah, I don't know, man. I literally don't see how in the year 2017 we can be like mad at some guy's Instagram selfie in any context, but we found a way, I guess.
I guess it's just, it is frustrating. It is completely frustrating. Number one, Neil, I know that you're reading The Toil of Hell. You could have easily gotten a better opinion from Richter and pass it off as your own. But why do you have to do this? Why do you have to do this, man?
Right, and he's the guy that he's like, usually it seems, the dude who kind of calls out guys acting too seriously and being too ridiculous and being too protective of the genre. All the time he writes about this stuff. So
for him to kind of go out of his way to just prove himself to be really no better. And I know he kind of does a lot of mental gymnastics and floaty language within the post where he sort of says, well, you know, it seems like on the internet these days, there's only two types of people. There's people who either care way too much and take it way too seriously, or there's people who are so laid back that they just don't give a shit about anything. And they think that everything is fine and life should just be like fly by the seat of your pants with everything. And then, of course, you have in the center the man who's above it all, Neil Jameson, who knows how to strike that perfect balance between a huge shithead and a huge shitlord.
Once again, the centrists will rise above us all. it's fun. Yeah, this post, the devaluation of opinion in metal, which is just, good lord. I don't know, man. Like, maybe Neil's not such a bad guy, and it's just the tone of his writing is the most infuriating fucking thing I see on a regular basis. But the opinion here is definitely flawed. It's flawed in principle. Yeah.
And sometimes he's got, you know, a great underlying message, but he really kind of can't get out of his own way. Like, in order to still sell the fact that he's like an inked up black metal super edgelord, he will still spin it in such a way. Like, he was trying to seriously bring up, you know, how suicide is an issue among artists, but in the same paragraph where he's trying to convey, well, suicide is important and we need to be aware of this sort of thing happening on every level of finance for artists or something like that, he then in the next sentence is like, but hey, if somebody wants to clock the fuck early, hey, ain't jizzing in my Mountain Dew for fuck yeah, you know? And it's just like, can you dial it back for once? Like, do you have to prove to everybody that you're just the edgiest bro to ever edge?
Well, do you want to read a bit of this? Because I would like to. I would like to say that this little series of paragraphs here, it made me kind of happy, especially this first line. These days, trying to have civil discourse, especially in the realm of metal, is like attempting to force-feed a newborn an entire watermelon. I'm sure it can be done, if cartoons taught me anything, but the baby will just bitch that it wasn't in season. That is the saying we all know and love about force-feeding a baby a watermelon and the baby being unhappy that it's not in season. I think that that's a great throwback to something that's common in our culture throughout.
I mean, if he's watching cartoons where babies have watermelons shoved right in their faces, you gotta wonder if he's talking about some like pretty skeevy stuff that Looney Tunes was doing in the 20s and 30s. I don't know what he's referencing, but I don't think I've seen that in any of the animated, you know, series that I've gone through.
I don't understand. I've never seen a baby bitch that something wasn't in season because it's, you know, they can't. What? Okay. Barring that this fucking sentence made no goddamn sense, let's go ahead and move on through. You have one side that takes things incredibly seriously and another that's so laid back about things they might as well be asleep. I think that would be me. I would probably be the asleep guy. Neither one wants to listen to the other unless it means they have a few seconds to gather their next witty slap. Again, I'm doing that right now. It's just gathering of people talking at each other, and our united ability to actually listen to what the other person is saying is no longer considered a virtue, but a liability. Somebody's been reading Ben Shapiro. Trying to understand where someone is coming from almost seems to be discouraged, especially in today's climate where you're able to just label somebody a communist or a fascist without even realizing what you're saying, only that you know it ends arguments and starts new ones.
Are we talking about a guy in his vacation photo? Or?
Yeah, that is exactly what he is talking about here. The same kind of people who will look down on you for thinking something like this is a bad mockery of something you find special are the same ones who lose their shit when their own tastes are called into question. Tell someone you don't like Mirker because you think the music is boring and you'll be persecuted for crimes against humanity. What the fuck are you talking about? But say you think someone's vacation photo record cover sucks and you're the asshole. It's the devaluation of opinion. It's an endless race to last place. Let's go ahead and piece this one out. If you say that if you tell someone that you don't like Mirker because the music is boring, you'll be persecuted for crimes against humanity. Have any of you guys ever seen that, ever, anybody saying, like, you don't like Merkur because you think it's boring. What?
No.
Never. That has literally never fucking happened. But
no.
Jameson is saying that he thinks the photo vacation photo record cover sucks, and somebody called him an asshole. Which, they might have called him an asshole about something completely unrelated.
He probably acted like an asshole when he brought it up. So I think he's probably got to consider that. But I think it's interesting he brings up Merkur, because I think it was, of all places, the New York Post recently did an interview with, how's it pronounced? Amélie Braun?
Yeah, Amélie? Something like that.
Yeah, so she was doing an interview, and she was just kind of talking about how, like always, she has to bring up how much shit she gets, because at the end of the day, it is worth mentioning all the death threats and everything else she receives. And she would say how people claim that she's ruining black metal, and the things she's doing is going to ruin the genre. And she very poignantly says, well, I don't think black metal as a genre is so weak that any one person could just ruin it by releasing music. Which I think really ties in very well to this post where this guy is going off about how dare someone transgress the virtuous lady black metal, as you say, so dastardly by putting up this ironic Instagram style photo of himself having a good time out on some kind of beach trip for an album cover.
Let's get back into what Neil has to say here. Sorry about that. I've got a cold. Is there a place in metal for this kind of cover? Sure. That place is probably in the trash. But I'm not to
oh,
think...
Oh, yeah!
Nailed it! But I'm not...
Oh, fuck!
But I'm not to think less of anyone who thinks it's a neat cover because they genuinely like it. Not because they like that it's pissing purists off, because that kind of contrarian behavior is innately immature. Whoa. Pissing off black metal nerds is immature? I gotta say, just call me a fucking toddler then, because that's all I want to do.
You're like that cheese wheel in the Cheez-It commercials. You just can't be tamed.
I can't think of anything more worthy of derision than black metal. What is it done to earn a place of respect where pissing off people is not fun? Isn't the whole point of black metal in the first place? Like, they were burning down churches and shit and being all spoopy and satanic and shit because they were trying to piss off normies? Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here, Neil Jameson. I don't care how much you worship at the altar of Dark Throne. Your entire perspective on all this is so distorted and fucking skewed that you need to go to therapy for a long time and listening to nothing but pet sounds until you pull your head out of your ass. That's it.
That's fair, I guess.
That's my hot take.
It's your hottest one.
His response going to be, some metal podcast have been saying, talk about us.
That's right. So it's easy to be bouncing back and forth on the one blog I keep reading to write my own blog.
Yeah, I don't know. I doubt he listened to the show, but if you do, Neil, you need help. You are not well. And quite honestly, it's inappropriate for Decibel to give you a place to write. You shouldn't have this big outlet.
It's unfortunate. I mean, I think he's coming from a place that could possibly provide some good points once in a while. I really do. I've seen him make them. It doesn't always happen. But like I said, he just has this inability to sort of get out of his own way. And sort of evaluate, like, why does this upset me so much? Like, why is this such a big deal that some random and this guy's from the UK, right? Sacred Son. English guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why some random young handsome chap putting up his like Facebook selfie as an album cover is such a problem. You know, I don't even think it's the first time it ever happened. I'm sure there's guys on Bandcamp that just didn't give enough of a shit. But this guy made good music, so it was worth passing around.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, just don't do anything about it. Don't pass it around. I think the worst thing you can ever do is pass it around, is like publish an article about it. You know, if you're just like adding flames to the controversy, all that's going to do is help these guys. I tell people many, many times, the way I found out about Def Heaven, which is a band that I like now, is from shit talk. I found out from people on message boards talking about how these guys are ruining metal. And I had to go and listen to them to confirm that. And all it did was say to me, hey, I like music that ruins metal. So yeah. I'm just going to pose all over the place and ruin everything. So way to go, guys.
Well, it's the same reason why I went to see Mother, is because when you have people with all of these hot takes about something, like, I got to know what the score is for myself, you know? Same thing with Def Heaven, like you said, and I too like Def Heaven. So, I don't know, man. Maybe we're unintentionally going to turn a lot of people onto the writing of Neil Jameson.
Yeah, we're just going to edit out this whole segment.
You know, I just kind of skim through them, and, you know, I always see people saying, like, oh, he makes great points. And then I'll kind of read it and just be like, where's the point? What's happening? What's going on? So I kind of just give up halfway through, and, you know, it doesn't really speak to me anyway. I'm not all that interested in black metal, and I'm not all that interested in lukewarm takes that really don't say anything. So, you know, whatever. Keep writing what you want to write. It means nothing to me.
Damn, mic dropped.
Burnt. Fuck. Well, how would you guys feel about reading something that's a little bit more, I don't know, creative? A little bit more edgy, maybe?
Let's have some fun.
Let's have some fun. I've had enough about complaining about bad things. Instead, I want to celebrate bad things. How does that sound?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Sounds like what I live for.
So the cool thing about running a metal blog, and I didn't realize it before I started doing it, is that you get hundreds of emails a day from people sending their press releases and their band bios to you, and they're all bad. But they're all bad in their own unique way. Like, I mean, there's only so many ways that you can say, like, I don't know, Truck Chudley and Jimbo Skoll got together to play groove metal. Jimbo plays bass, Chuck plays, you know, the triangle, and, they're here to devastate your town. It's all kind of variations of the same thing. So when people make it a little bit more spicy, by being especially, creative with it, it makes everything better.
It all began in 2004 when John Rosenthwart bought his fourth-hand PV6505 in the local pawn shop back in the woods of eastern New Hampshire.
I'm going to read this and feel free to interrupt at any point. Plague Phalanx dawned in 2015 with a self-titled demo tape that proved too caustic for many. Immediately despised and misinterpreted by internet blog charlatans and bootlicking subhumans, Plague Phalanx's name nevertheless spread like a deadly, virulent pathogen across the states and beyond.
So that was like two guys on Nuclear War Now forums like, I don't really like this Plague Phalanx record.
Charlatans! Despised by many.
Yeah. That's sick. Haters make me famous, like in a black metal speak.
What do you think a bootlicking subhuman looks like to one of these people? I think that a bootlicking subhuman to me sounds a lot like a guy who would write this as their band bio, but yeah, we'll move on.
It continues. Hooded in black anonymity, these San Jose-based Void Troopers return to the year 2017 bearing seven new arms of annihilating Black Death supremacy. A Black Death is one word, by the way.
So good. Seven arms, that would make them Def Leppard, right? Hey! Ooh.
Don't you think that's a reach, Joe?
Say, hey! I can't get Void Troopers. Is that one word or two?
That's one word.
It sounds like a really fucking shitty knockoff of, like, the Power Rangers.
Right. Maybe, like, the putties, they got a punch in the Z. They're always showing up. It's going like, boom!
Or it's like the Turkish version of Star Wars. Instead of, like, you know, stormtroopers, they have Void Troopers.
Oh. I wonder if Void Troopers, they're talking about the dudes in the white cloaks with the triangle cut out in their face for the movie The Void.
Oh, yeah, that incredibly sick movie that you don't have any appreciation for.
Yeah, that amazing, perfect film that just makes so much sense from beginning to end.
Horror movies don't have to make sense. I apologize.
I need to know somebody's name at some point in the movie.
Fuck, fuck that. In horror movies, everyone's meat. Sorry, continue, Jordan.
Iniquitous Eugenics. I think that's the name of the album. Anyway, Iniquitous Eugenics inflames the bestial impulses and evokes indiscriminate genocide with pestilential guitars, panzerblast drums, and warped vox like ghastly howls from the slaughterhouse drainpipes.
Okay. Let's try to nail this down. Iniquitous eugenics. So that would be like selective breeding based on inequality. So is that just like a bunch of chads fucking each other?
I hate to interrupt, but your tickets are on sale.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Sorry, folks. I'm buying tickets right now to see George Clinton in a Parliament Funkadelic.
I only found out just recently that Joe is quite the funky motherfucker.
Joe wants the funk. Give him the funk. Iniquitous eugenics inflames the bestial impulses and evokes indiscriminate genocide with pestilential guitars, panzerblast drums, and warped vox, not vocals, vox, like ghastly howls from the slaughterhouse drainpipes, gluttons for sick pig, goat penis, and crrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrrr goat penis.
And goat penis. Hooded in black anonymity probably means that they just can't take a good band photo to save their life.
So they're just ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of mean.
Yeah, but I would appreciate
too much.
I would appreciate that kind of honesty in a band bio. Like, we're ugly as shit, so we have to cover up.
That's definitely going to be my next bio. If I ever write one, it's going to be, shrouded in ugly as fucking anonymity. These unfuckable losers have created.
Mothers, make your children avert their eyes. I like it. So is the music good? Does it have a good beat? Is it good to dance to?
I'm not going to listen to that.
Oh, you mean you guys aren't going to share it on the show?
I mean, we could.
Or we could. Why don't we play a little clip? You don't think we can put in like a 5-second clip of some plague phalanx? Give the listeners a taste of some pestilential riffs.
All right. This is plague phalanx. Man, that's fucking brutal. That was brutal. I would like to read one that really made an impression on me a long while ago. This band Black Grail is notable for a number of reasons. Number one, the art for the record, Mississimo Regressivo. It looks like a full motion video sequence from a Sega CD game. It's awesome. Like, it's a point and click adventure waiting to happen. But also, what's good about this is the band bio. If it's okay with you fellas, I'm going to read this, all right?
Please.
And feel free to interject if you feel the need. The stars cried when presaged by such atrocities that occurred 7 years before the cosmic cycle ending 2005 Anno Bastardi in a third world nation as Chile. The images, smells, and flavors that take place in your mind by the effect of Black Grail are the very reflection of the lowest consciousness level of the human being, those levels you can only get to evoke through the most terrible of the theatrical works. This is why these five revelations were spat from Nosferatu's ethereal body, since his mortal will is to take you to the blackest of the spiritual paths, though something that many call the rebirth and to strongly oppose any solar flame or healthy doctrines of illumination. Therefore, since they transgress all ascetic attempts, these odes to the dark, will never be understood by the souls that have been drunken by the white side of the esoteric doctrines.
So they're a ska band.
Right? this was
a book, I'd put it down.
This is the first paragraph of 10.
Well, then, by all means, I guess we better continue.
I really wish I didn't have, like, a sinus infection so I could read this more easily. In long periods of an almost... Sorry, I'm going to read this as it reads, not, like, as they intended to. I'm just going to read it word for word. In long periods of an almost an obsessive trance, and two Christian years after, all these emotions were captured in a very humble way, of 500 magnetic tapes approximately, which performed some of very raw and grinding black metal. With the support of Murmur, another malign spirit, this first act could see the false light on this rotting existence, in this way, to peregrinate in different corners of the world, to be terminally stricken, and all the black metal devotees.
That's enough. I think I've heard. I think we get it.
Do you? I don't think you get it.
Are you gonna give me some sort of a amazing twist in a couple paragraphs? Am I gonna be floored?
Well, I don't want to.
Butler did it at the end or something.
She don't ruin it. Shit. This goes on for so long, you guys. I didn't think reading it out loud would be so difficult.
Do you want to send it to me? I'll read it.
I'm going to just skip ahead a few.
That sounds good to me.
The thirst for consuming your being from these demons doesn't stop yet. This three-egged table has given birth to a morbid fetus that shines as gold.
Three-egged table?
It's a three-egged table. You don't even understand with your morbid realm.
Even if it is a typo, it still fits somehow.
Sorry. This three-egged table has given birth to a morbid fetus that shines as gold, but it's food for the fateful. It's one of the non-desired children between Black Grail and Francis Ysenogren, fruit of the incestuous marriage that was baptized Negredo, the first of the four marriages that will be contracted by the Ysenogren in name of the mysteries of alchemy, along with other acts from around the world respectively, in which the renowned label Nuclear War Now acted as a pederast priest.
So if this was done with some sort of incestuous union and we got ourselves an egg-laying table... Is there some way that there was, like, an incestuous union with the table? Did, the chair do it?
They fucked on the three-egged table, definitely. And Nuclear War Now, listed as a pederast priest, he took pictures of them in a creepy way.
Oh. Nuclear Blast Now, I mean, are they releasing these guys, or do they take some issue with Nuclear Blast Now?
I don't know, but, like, it seems to me that some, like, cops should probably investigate this claim that Nuclear War Now is a pederast. Like, this is obviously a cry for help. It finishes. Nowadays, Black Grail continues to spill their liquor all over the world with the foully focused creativity that pushes the limits of what's acceptable by society. The bubonic pest has infected its members with the coming of Black Death, infamous specter with a vast criminal record on felonies inflicted with the six silver wires. Which is
best... I'm in the legal system, that's for sure.
The best description I've ever heard of being shitty at guitar. the final sentence here. Achieving with this, new prayers that are taken form so Black Grail can carry with itself the wine which is used to drown the scale of moral values. Contact us at black666grail@hotmail.com.
Hotmail. Hotmail.
Beautiful.
And,
wow.
Yeah.
That's the most offensive part, is they're using Hotmail. It's like that's what irks me the least. I'm the most jarred by that sentiment. That Hotmail is a reasonable email client to use in 2017.
So I have one more if we still want to go through with this.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I need a cigarette after that. I am spent. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and take this on?
Well, I don't know if anything will ever really top that. Although, didn't we have something like a year or two ago where it was like some band called like Hitler Satan
and
it
was
something absurd?
It was Obama Bin Laden.
Yes. Obama Bin Laden. Those morons that had like the red and black face paint to look like Oni demons from Japan, and they had like SS hats. I got that email, man. Those guys go way back.
We should probably like dedicate an entire bonus episode to just reading their press releases because they suck.
They're terrible. Like I listen to their music and I remember writing how bad it was because it's just strictly Pantera. There isn't like a drop of originality outside. They literally play note for note. Like, I think it was like Mouth for War or something, like, and they just pass it off as their own song.
That's dope.
Terrible.
That's dope. I like that a lot. Let's put that in, put it on the back burner, but we are going to get to Obama Bin Laden one day.
Well, that's a good tease. For now, I have one I've been holding on to for a couple weeks now. The band is called Dead Woman's Ditch. And it is quite long. Here we go. From a smoke-filled cave on the edge of the Quantock Hills in Somerset comes, with disturbing regularity, a glorious dark grinding sound. Oh, that's what they say. I wish I was being clever, but that's what the line is. A glorious dark grinding sound, much akin to the scales of the girt worm of Shervage, grinding its slow length through the hills and forests surrounding Dead Woman's Ditch. It is thought that the inhabitants of said cave could well be the hatchlings of the worm whose eggs were never found.
What is with these fucking guys and eggs?
I'm more upset that they say grinding twice in the same sentence.
Grinding.
Yeah.
Was it the girth worm? Is that what you said?
Girt, G-U-R-T. And they spell worm with a Y, by the way.
Okay.
Worm.
I'm going to name my band Girth Worm Jim.
Yeah, from now on, will you guys call me the Girth Worm?
That's what the ladies call me.
Hey. So yeah, this whole thing is incredibly phallic. Something about a girth worm and a woman's ditch. Like, I don't know about this, man.
These sounds, oft accompanied by a deathly wailing and screeching thought to be that of the ghost of John Walford, can be heard at night across the far reaches of the Hare Path.
The Hare Path, right, down to the ditch with the girth worm. Wait, who is this?
Well, what are you trying to imply?
I really don't know.
Who is it that they were referencing there? John
Walford.
Who the fuck is John Walford?
Can we look that up? Can we take a second and find out what that could mean? And didn't you say these guys were from Somerset?
Either they're from Somerset or the story is from Somerset.
So, well, what a story to write.
Somerset. I googled John Walford, and the first 10 results are he's the quarterback of Wake Forest football team.
Good for him. He's doing well.
Got it.
He's a handsome young man.
Over a period of several cold, dark months, these sounds have been captured with modern recording equipment.
Sellout. Fucking poser. Ooh.
Yeah. They're to be broadcast in order that everyone can come to know the full horror that lies amongst the bracken and leaf rot upon the Somerset Hills. Please beware this horror. It will be known as Seo Mare Satan.
Now, is this Somerset, Connecticut? Which state is this? Because it gets less cooler as you go. I mean,
yeah, this got less sexy. Bring it back to the smut.
Right.
Conception. The album name, Seo Mare Satan, which is Old English for settlers by the sea lakes, is thought to be where the word Somerset comes from, and with Dead Woman's Ditch, which is an area of the hills of Somerset near where we write and record, we wanted to concentrate on the more interesting dark side of Somerset's history. That's all one sentence. Holy crap.
But the name of the record is Conception, right?
The name of the record is Seo Mare Satan.
Oh, okay. Fuck. Yeah, I got nothing.
Where does the girth worm and the hair trail like fall into Somerset's history?
I don't know.
Yeah, which is a bit much. I mean, were those eggs ever found? What happened to the eggs?
Are we implying that the about Viking invasion using a sound clip from Chernobyl? Make it stop.
In the future, you can look forward to next week is going to be an interview with an associate of Insane Clown Posse. And I am pissing my pants with excitement right now. It's going to be an all-timer. I just know it. Your bonus episode, your Patreon episode, is coming up next week too. We don't know what's going to be on it yet, but we know it is going to be extremely funny and probably offensive.
We say some really horrible stuff, so you should give us money so you can hear about it.
All the naughty words you know of, plus some you've never heard before.
Yeah, you think these promos were bad? You just wait until you get on the special Patreon episode of the podcast, and you're going to really get your Jimmy's rustled.
So I'm actually super proud of our last Patreon episode, mostly because of the title. It was like Nazi cops and big-titted women. you're missing out on that if you haven't subscribed. So get on the hype train. Actually, do a premium subscription, man. I'll send you a cassette tape and you get the bonus episodes. Otherwise, subscribe to us, like us, share us on Facebook. I don't know. Follow me on Twitter. Don't say mean things to me. That's all I got.
Yeah, man. For $10 a month, it's a freaking steal. What is that? What is that in these days? Is that a Starbucks coffee? $10?
Yeah, going with that. With your limp-wristed latte sipping. All right, let's cut this part out.
Got your cookie chip frappuccino. Bullshit.
Yeah, man.
Your extra whipped cream and your chocolate is sauce. Instead, you could be metal as fuck and listen to the Toilet of Hell Patreon episode featuring Jordan, who also goes by 365 Days of Horror, and also Joe, who also goes by Joe. And then you have Brendan. That's me. It's going to be great. You guys are going to get two, three guys talking about heavy metal like you've never heard before. So sign up.
I think that's good. That's good note to end on. Jordan, you got anything else?
Yeah.
Three-Egged Table.
All right. Well, join us next week for another episode of Three-Egged Table. We'll see you next time.
Have a good week, bye, guys. Things down.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.